Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, justification by faith alone. Justification by faith alone. Galatians 2, 16. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're able. The Bible says in Galatians 2, 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. We have read straight from the Word of God this morning. It is the Word of God. It is inspired by God. And I hope that these scriptures that we continue to learn, as we go verse by verse through the book of Galatians, will encourage you and I who are saved. And pray that it convicts those who are not saved. I hope it doesn't get old to us to hear and to read these verses, but that it will continue to encourage us, that we would go out and proclaim and share the gospel with this lost and dying world. Here we see that Paul is still in his rebuke and as he confronts Peter. Not just with Peter. The main one is Peter, because Peter is to be blamed, as we learn in verse 11. Peter was confronted by Paul to the face because of Peter's actions. Without saying a word, Peter was changing the gospel message. And Paul had already said in chapter 1 that if anyone changes the message, that may they be what? Cursed. So here we have Peter, which has a record of denying Jesus. And before we get too harsh on Peter, remember that as we went through this, most of us are like Peter and not Paul. Yet we all need a Paul. And we need the Word of God. Peter, by his actions, was proclaiming that salvation was not by Christ alone, but also by works. Because he withdrew from the Gentiles when these Judaizers came to Antioch. And Paul was letting the Galatians know these things, so that they see, they understand that Paul is an apostle. And that salvation is not by works. And if there was ever a scripture throughout the Bible that was super clear, plain, about this truth, that justification is by faith in Christ, not by works, this is it. Because in this verse, three times we see that justification, salvation, is not by works, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Three times we see this. This verse is very clear, very simple, and to the point. So here's the question: how can anyone get this wrong? It's here. Again, it's clear, it's plain, it's to the point. How can anybody mess this up? How can anybody get this wrong? The sad fact is that multitudes do err, even with verses like this one. But we also have to remember, why is this verse written? First of all, it is the inspired Word of God. Second, this was in the process of Paul rebuking Peter, who was truly saved, but had begun to err himself. Now, there are some who err because they don't study. And they just take for granted that what they're being taught is the Word of God. They can say, well, I grew up in this certain denomination. This is what they teach. That's what I believe. well, that's not going to pass. We have the responsibility, the Bible tells us, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. We study the Word of God, you and I. We're supposed to study. And then there are those who are, because they don't study, they don't know, they take for granted what those teach them is truth. But there are also denominations that are on purpose to control people. It's about controlling. These denominations use scare tactics to control their people. They put fear that the people may lose their salvation, and this fear keeps them coming back to the church so they can continue to fleece the sheep. I can remember talking to a pastor one day of a different denomination, and I was trying to present the gospel to this pastor about the grace of God and the mercies of God and the grace and salvation. And it was even giving him scripture. And he said, yeah, he said, I know all that. He said, but I can't tell that to my people. He said, if I don't tell them that they got to work for it, he said, I'll lose all of them. They'll quit. They'll stop trying. So I'm trying to explain to them, no, they won't, because they'll truly be saved by the grace of God and so on and so forth. But he wouldn't budge. Wouldn't budge. He wanted his people to be there out of fear, not out of love. So they fear that with their next step, they may end up in the torments of hell. Listen, folks, this is a terrible way to live. This is a terrible way to try to serve God in fear like this. One way that people have tried to ease their consciences is by putting sin in categories. They know that they can't live up to the standard of the Word of God, so they start to categorize sin, and then they even make things sinful that are not actually sinful. Because if they make this sinful, then that's something that they can accomplish. And in a sense, they justify themselves by accomplishing that which is not sinful because they've made it sinful. And then they look down on others who do not follow after their man-made traditions or laws. This almost always deals with that which can be seen with the eyes. If you remember, Christ dealt with the heart. Why? Because the Pharisees were more concerned with that which could be seen with the eyes. Same thing that these people are doing. For example, they make it sinful to wear certain types of clothing. If you don't have something down to your ankles or to your wrist, or if you cut your hair, if you put on makeup, if you get your ears pierced, then you have sinned and lost your salvation. But if you do all these things, you're okay. Or if someone eats a non-approved food or worships on a non-approved day, they have sinned and lost their salvation. I like using the analogy of, okay, let's say this is what you believe, that you can't eat this or go here or do this or wear this, you must worship on this day, all these things. Let's say that you are on a ship, the ship goes down, you're the only one that survives. You get to this deserted island. You have no idea what day it is. How are you going to know what day to worship? The only food you can catch is the food that is on the non-approved list. Catfish. There is a movement today where people think they actually live above sin. They'll say things like they haven't sinned in 5 days or 5 months or 5 years or whatever it may be. And the Bible does say that these people are liars, according to 1 John. The man says he has no sin. What is it? He is a liar. And often these sins that these people are talking about are sins on the outward. In their mind, they haven't killed nobody. They haven't committed adultery. They haven't beat nobody up. But again, Christ deals with the heart. Mark 12, look in verse 28. Now one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" Now notice this, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." There is not one person alive on the face of the earth, nor has there ever been, that can say that they have loved God with all their heart, and all their soul, and all their mind, and all their strength for 1 second. Amen. This leaves mankind in a bad way. How else? We can't. How are we to be justified? If we can't even love God with all that we are for 1 second, how are we going to get to heaven? Only through the way that God has made. That's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 3 for some more of this. Romans chapter 3. We'll start in verse 19. I know we've been here quite a few times as we go through the book of Galatians, and as I mentioned, we'll keep coming back here to these verses. Romans 3, 19. The Bible says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Therefore, here is another plain and simple verse. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed, being testified by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace." This means unearned, unmerited, "through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And there's nothing else. Only Christ Jesus. Titus 3, 4 through 6 says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." If righteousness came by the law, and we'll look at this in the coming weeks, then Christ died in vain. And Christ did not die in vain. Here are a couple quotes by some theologians who have gone on to glory. R.C. Sproul said this, "The only reason why I am a Christian is because I am a gift of the Father to the Son, not because of anything I've ever done." Here's another quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, I am a Christian solely and entirely because of the grace of God, and not because of anything that I have thought or said or done. He brought me to know that I was dead in trespasses and sins, a slave to the world and the flesh and the devil, that in me dwelleth no good thing, and that I was under the wrath of God and heading for eternal punishment. He brought me to see that the real cause of all my troubles and ills, and that of all men, was an evil and fallen nature, which hated God and loved sin. My trouble was not only that I did things that were wrong, but that I myself was wrong at the very center of my being. That's by Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones. There's nothing about us that God would say, I think I'm going to save that boy, or that girl, or that man, or that woman. It's all by His grace. We are at enmity with God. God is at enmity with us before salvation. We learned this morning in Sunday school, Jesus Christ is our peace with God. There are, and there is no other. With all the scripture that we have that is confirming that salvation is not by works, it is a shame that we have to continue teaching and preaching this. To address this subject, you would think by now that people would understand. People would see. Yes, salvation can't be earned. But again, and I don't mean this to sound bad, but most people do not study their Bibles. They just take for granted what someone else tells them. Keep in mind again that here is Paul having to rebuke Peter, who was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And not just Peter, but all those who withdrew along with Peter, they became hypocrites. So Paul's having to rebuke them. And in rebuking them, he is again proclaiming that justification is only by and in and through Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law. See, that's what these Judaizers were saying. That yes, they said, you need faith in Christ, but that is not enough. It's not faith in Christ alone. It's faith in Christ plus your works, your circumcision, your keeping of the Mosaic law. You got to do all these things to stay saved and to get saved. And that's not the case. It's a shame. Again, we got to continue on these verses, but I'm so thankful that they're in the Word of God continually. And as I was looking at these verses that went with this, if we were just to stop and read all the verses that affirmed what this verse is teaching, we'd be here for a very long time. Basically, we could read the Bible, couldn't we? So let's keep looking at this verse. Verse 16. I want to read it again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's plain, simple. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. Again, plain and simple. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Plain and simple. The word justified in this verse is spoken especially of the justification bestowed by God on men through Christ, in which He is said to regard and treat them as righteous, to absolve from the consequences of sin, and admit to the enjoyment of the divine favor to be justified. Justification is a work that only God can do. We can't even do it. We can't earn it. We can't be good enough for God to say, hey, I think that'll work. No, God is the one that has to do the justification. Something else, it's also a one-time act. God justifies us, you and I, once. We learned that this morning, didn't we, in Hebrews? Christ died how many times? Once. one time. He was the perfect sacrifice once. That's all he had to do, it was once. God saves you and I once. And when he saves us, we are saved. When he justifies us, we are justified. It is as if we had never sinned. The righteousness of Christ, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, is imputed or put to our account. When God sees us in and through Jesus Christ, he sees us as if we had never, ever sinned. That is truly amazing. And if we would think about that truth just for a little while, daily, it would continue to transform our lives. We don't deserve justification. Again, we did not earn it, nor can we earn it. It is by the grace of God. Justification, a one-time act only God can do. The word works in this verse, by the works of the law. The works of the law. The works of the law. In this verse means to work, deed, act, action, something done. Again, this is very appealing to our flesh. I have this list over here. I have on it things I need to do, things I don't need to do. So I'm checking this list off. And I'm doing good. Well, messed up over here. Oh, but I got it this time. That's appealing to you and I. To accomplish something. How many of y'all like cutting the grass? And you look back and you see that you've accomplished something that day. Or if you build something, or if you tear something down. We clear trees and we build ponds. And it's good to look back and see a job coming together. There is a sense of accomplishment there. Or if you're hunting or fishing and you kill something. And I'm trying to look around. If you grade a paper and the student made an A, there's a sense of accomplishment there because you have a part in that student growing and learning, right? But what if they make an F? That was me. I was that student. Sorry. Brother, I was the A student. I was the F student. Sometimes I even got F pluses. That was pretty good right there. But it's appealing to you and I to want to try to work to earn our way. So we think we can earn salvation. We like the works part of it here. We can even brag and say, look what we've done. But this definition says that the works of the law, meaning works required or conformable to the Mosaic moral law and required by this law. The word law speaks of the Mosaic code. Works of the law means that you've got to keep the law. And again, no one's ever done it. That's been a burden that's placed on people. It's been used by false teachers and the religious crowds to have a hold on people, to control people. Again, that fear factor. If you remember in John chapter 9, we learned that anyone who said the name of Christ would get kicked out of the temple. But the old boy was born blind. That's why his parents were so scared and said, ask him, he's of age. And what came with getting kicked out of the temple is that you got separated from the people of God. It means you got separated from the promises of God, from the law of God, and you was headed to a devil's hell. No one's ever been able to keep the law, earn salvation through the works of the law. Ever. No one. As you learned this morning in Sunday school, even in the Old Testament, salvation was the same. It was by grace, through faith in the promise of God. And that promise is, we know, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the Messiah, our Lord and Savior. So we have works of the law. We also have works of faith. The faith of Christ. Not the works of the law, but by the faith of Christ. We'll get there in a second. Works of faith is different from works of the law. We learn this in the book of James. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of James chapter 2. I don't want to confuse anybody because the Bible does say that we are to work. But the fact is that we don't work for salvation. We work because we are saved. Works of faith is springing from faith or a result of justification. We do not do good works to be saved, nor to stay saved, but because we are saved. Nor do we live in open known sin, nor do we have a license to sin because we are saved. No, we hate, as we've already mentioned, our own sins. In James chapter 2, verse 14, and we studied the book of James on Wednesday night a couple years ago. Or I should say it took us a couple years to get through it. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Good question. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say that thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith how? By my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. First, a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. The body needs breath, which is the word spirit here. Rahab, she believed. Abraham, he believed. They both believed God, the Word of God. And the result was that their faith produced works. They were not saved by their works, but because they believed, their faith, again, it produced works. Therefore, if someone says, I have faith, but their faith is not producing any kind of works, then according to James here, that faith is what? It's dead. It's not a living, it's not a live faith. It's not saving faith. All it is saying, hey, I claim the name of Christ. I got baptized. I joined the church. See you later. I got my insurance to keep me out of hell right here. I got a card. See ya. Not going to live for Jesus Christ. Not going to do for Jesus Christ. Not going to proclaim Christ. Not going to suffer for Christ. James is simply telling us that if that's the case, then you don't have genuine faith. You don't have saving faith. Because saving faith, it always produces works. Always. No one who's truly saved will not do nothing for Jesus Christ. Again, works of faith is work springing from faith or a result of justification. You don't work to get it. You don't work to be saved. You work because you are saved. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We were here this past Wednesday night, this verse 11. Second Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling. If you remember, what was this calling? That they would what? Suffer and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness. Notice this, and the work of faith with power. Works springing forth from faith. Works as a result of faith. Again, not to be saved, but because you are saved. And your life shows it. Your life shows it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your what? Work of faith. And labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Again, works of faith springing from saving faith, not to saving. You know what one of the problems is with churches today? They have people standing behind pulpits who are not genuinely saved, preaching and teaching people in the pews who are not genuinely saved. And the result is that there are no good works going forth, because that only springs from faith, not to faith. So you have churches who become a place of gatherings where you just gather, just say hey, and you keep face, and people say things like, I've got my Jesus on today, or in other words, what they're saying is that I've checked that off my list for today, now I can go do what I want to go do, how I want to do it, when I want to do it, because I've done my good deed for today. That person does not know what true saving faith really is. Paul, in Galatians 2, he's not trying to be mean. He's not trying to get a leg up on all these other apostles or disciples, Christians. Oh, Paul loves Jesus Christ. And it's grieving Paul because of what Peter and these others are doing. Because it's taken the gospel message and it's making it unclear. It's causing division in the church. Peter's never said a word. His actions spoke loudly, causing confusion, division in the church. When you and I look around at this world, which we live in, and we hear what's being said about Jesus. I'm not talking about politically. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. We hear what's being said. We see what's being done with the name of Christ stuck to it. This is an incentive for you and I to keep contending for the faith. To keep going for Jesus Christ. Amen. Even when all others, as Paul said, all men forsook me, but Christ did. We keep proclaiming Christ. We keep standing on the Word of God, no matter how many or how few we are. We do it because we love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. Verse 16 in Galatians 2 says, the faith of Jesus Christ. This is of the faith in Christ's death as the ground of justification before God, known as saving faith. This faith is not earned. This faith is a gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2, as was mentioned this morning in Sunday school, verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." You didn't earn it. You didn't come up with it. You didn't produce this faith. You didn't put your bootstraps on and pull your boots up. You didn't muster this faith. No, look what it says. Verse 8, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to boast in. Salvation, justification by faith is by the grace of God, not of man. Not of the works of men. Not what we have done or what we have not done. Remember that Paul was speaking with Peter here and others that withdrew with Peter. Notice in this verse he uses the word we twice. He says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We, who are the we? We are the Jews. Peter and these others who dissembled, who went into hypocrisy by their actions. Paul is reminding them, we who are the Jews, we who have been given the oracles of God, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Think about it, Peter, Barnabas, the rest of you, think about it. Yes, we're saved. How are we saved? Peter, you should know for sure, not by keeping the law, but by the grace of God. The faith of Jesus Christ. Justified by the faith of Christ. And since we have been saved by grace through faith, how in the world would we expect someone else to keep the law? We know this. So let us not get sidetracked with the traditions of men. And that can be easy. We talked this past Monday night in our Bible study about clothing that people wear today when they preach in comparison to what they wore 150 years ago. We talked about people having beards. 150 years ago they had beards. 250 years ago they did not. Interesting how the, if you look at the pictures of the generals and the Revolutionary War, they were clean shaven. The Civil War, they were full beards. How those things change. And even in our day and age, when we have people who say you shouldn't have a beard, then you have others who say that you should have a beard and that you're not spiritual unless you have one. Well, that's both ways. Listen, folks, I don't want my wife having a beard. Amen? All good? We get sidetracked. Paul tells Timothy, don't get caught up on all those things. The genealogies, the old wives' fables. Stay focused on the Word. We've been given this message, folks. This is what we ought to be proclaiming, and our life should also proclaim these truths. Works springing forth from this faith. We believe, we have faith in, we trust Christ for justification before God. And again, our life should proclaim this. So here's a question, a few questions. Have you trusted Jesus Christ to save your soul? Is your trust only in Christ? Not in what you said. Not in what you felt. Not what you experienced. Not in what you've done. But only in Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He is the only mediator between God and men. I beg you to look off anything and everything else, and by faith look solely to Jesus Christ. He alone can save, and He alone does save. John 6:37, one of my favorite scriptures. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Come to Jesus. Why wouldn't you? Why would you keep trying to earn your salvation when you know, according to the Bible, you can't do it? Why would you keep trying to clean your life up to be accepted by Jesus when the Bible says you can't do it? Simply trust Christ by faith. Amen. And He tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. These are biblical truths. Amen. Thank God for grace. Thank God that we cannot earn our salvation. By grace, through faith. Let's pray.